doesn't hardly seem adequate. That's about all I can do, is just say a big thank you for whatever you have done in whatever way. I'm on. Well, the light's on. I'm still not on, no. Not going to do it, huh? Okay. Just turn it off. Regular. Okay. So a great big thank you for everything you've done over the years. I could spend a lot of time in praising you and thanking you for what you've done as an encouragement to make life a little easier. I appreciate the men helping in revival, coming to the early 6 o'clock prayer meeting before they went to work. So many times I tried to be the first one here, and most of the time I did, but not always. But I got to beat everybody, and we appreciate you coming. Then the crowd that came at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning over the years, that's been an encouragement and helped set the tone for the day. Ruth and Robert and David and Etta and Vaughn and Pauletta, Ronnie and Kurt. And we appreciate that so much. I know there's been times when probably it'd be a real effort to roll out of bed and come to service, but I trust that when you did, you was able to meet God here in the early morning prayer meeting. Praise the Lord. Well, as I mentioned to you this morning, the scripture that I used was the first scripture that I used here when I came to Tryout, and the scripture tonight is what I preached from that Sunday night. I didn't say the same message. That probably would be utterly impossible. Now, what I've preached in between those times, my memory is not that accurate to know what that might have been, and I really don't know why this stuck in my mind over the years, but nevertheless, it did. That's 107th division of the Psalms. I didn't preach the same message this morning. Adelia said something about that assistance thing, and I really thought you had that mixed up, but Brother Franklin remembers it clearly too. So it's two against one, so I guess you're right and I'm wrong. So it wasn't the same message, just the same scripture. Maybe this won't be exactly the same message either. Psalms 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this day and all of your blessings that you've manifested unto us. You have commanded us in your word, oh, that individuals, and oh, that we would give thanks unto thee. And we do praise thee tonight for thy loving kindness and thy tender mercies upon us and unto us. We pray you'd open your word to our hearts in this hour. Help us to rejoice in thee, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see pictured in this portion of scripture that we read tonight four different difficult cases. The first is that of a traveler. The second is that of the prisoner. The third is that of a sick man. And the last is the picture of the mariner. Hard, difficult cases, but our God deals in difficult cases. Whenever all of these individuals could come to the place to where they would desperately call upon God, then he would hear and answer prayer. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and verse 13 said, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." There's many individuals out there tonight that it's beyond their mind and beyond their thinking that they never want to serve God and that they never want to live for him and do what he wants them to do. We've got the picture, first of all, of this traveler. And it said they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. I'm not sure that each of these pictures in some degree doesn't represent the nation of Israel. And the commentator
thought at least that the first picture would represent the nation of Israel. We see this traveler traveling in a solitary way, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. A lot of different conditions than the individual that's at home. The individual that could get a clear drink when they wanted it. The individual that could receive nourishment whenever they wanted it. An individual that has the confidence and the strength of being at home. But here's the picture of that wayward traveler out there traveling, hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainting within them. Scripture said, then they cried unto the Lord. Then they sought the Lord. It's too bad that God has to let individuals so many times down, even to the throes of death, down into great difficulties and trials before they'll ever humble themselves and call upon His name. But in this weakened condition, and realized that surely they'd be a goner unless somehow they could receive help. They were out there in a solitary way where there was no other help. There was no one else to minister to them and to supply their needs. And so they began to call upon God. And the scripture said it was at that time that He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. The scripture tells us that that's what Abraham sought for, was a city that had no foundations, a city that God had prepared. That's what he was pressing for. And I trust tonight that's what we're pressing for tonight. We're not living for temporal things, but rather for eternal things. I trust that God will help us to ever be mindful of the spiritual and of the eternal. And for that we're pressing on and in that direction tonight. Thank God. And it may be closer than what most of us think. It may be nearer than what some of us think, but that's all right. However near that it might be, praise God. And we've got reservations made, and we're looking for that city. That city that had habitation. And oh, thank God, the inhabitants of that city. God's over the city. God and the angels and the saints and those that have been blood-washed that are given in. Thank God that's the kind of environment and the kind of habitation that we're looking forward to. It said, for He satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. Then we see the picture also of the prisoner. In verse 10 said, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being in affliction and iron. You can't depict much more pitiful condition than to exist than what this was. There was no hope of deliverance as far as man was concerned. Sitting in the shadows and sitting in darkness, bound with the fetters of iron. There was no release to be had. There was no way that he was going to get out. There was no way that he was going to get loose in affliction and iron. And then it tells us why they was there. In verse 11, it said, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. They brought it upon themselves. They were receiving what they deserved. They were like rejectors. They knew what was right. They knew the way to go. But they had rejected that. They had taken opposition against God. They contemned the counsel of the Most High. There was something down in the depths of their heart that refused to accept that and obey that and walk in the light of that. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there wasn't anybody, there was none to help. But then in that condition, they realized there was just one way out. Then they cried unto God. They realized the words of God, the counsel of God, wasn't so bad after all. They were kind of like the picture of Jonah when he was in the whale's belly. And he said, they take the way that I have taken, forsake their own mercy. He realized at that point and in that time that the only way was to seek God. And no doubt he realized that God was the only one that could deliver him out of that vision. So it was that these prisoners, light rejectors, fell down under the labor and the excruciating pain that their tormentors inflicted upon them. And said, then he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sight. Not only the bands of iron, steel, brass, whatever might have helped them in that condition, but the sinful habits that put them behind the bars and in the affliction of the enemy to start with. Those binding habits that pulled them down, individuals that started, but they said it won't carry me to where it's carried others. But how many have gone on in that direction? I visited a mental part of the hospital years ago, and the young, not real young, but young as we would consider, as I would consider a young individual, he said, we began to drink back there. We said, we can handle this. And though they begin to drink and begin, but that's where he was that day when I visited him. He wasn't crazy. He wasn't insane. But somehow sin had wrecked his life and wrecked his heart and probably wrecked his nerves until he was in that condition that day. None to hell. But God can bring them out. Then we notice the third picture of the sick man. Said fools because of their transgression. That's a pretty strong statement whenever the scripture talks about fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, no God. The fool would try to take opposition with God. It's a pretty strong statement, but because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, they are afflicted. Said their soul abhorred all manner of men. We think of the physical, and all of us have no doubt been about that was sick. After I had her heart surgery and taking the medication they gave me, I tell you, that made me so sick. So dead. I didn't even want to smell food cooking, much less just a taste of it, losing weight every day. So sick. The doctor said, eventually my appetite would return. That was one true thing. But this says their soul abhorred all manner. You talk about a sick individual. It's the sin-sick individual. It's the individual whose soul is sick. It's the individual whose heart is sick. The passing fancies of the world, the entertainments of the world, that's not going to stop. That's not even going to ease it whenever they get to this point. Their soul, part of all manner of meat, they draw near to the gates of death. The pastor, the lady, and she was down in Florida, and so somehow she went out on this fishing vessel, and actually she wasn't used to that condition, and she got out there and became so extremely careless. Standing at the side, that old vessel of rock and rolled, heaving up and bonding over the side. The vessel rocking and maybe wondering if she's going to go on over. And she said, it didn't even let you hear.
them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. Aren't you glad that God is able to heal by the power of his word? Not only physically, but also spiritually. And delivered them from destruction. And then it said, oh, this man would praise the Lord. And that's what he wanted all the time. That individuals would honor him and glorify him and praise him. They certainly have a testimony when they get out of this destruction. Said, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. I mean, their praise can go on and on and on. And then whenever we get into the realms of eternity, we can still keep offering the sacrifices of praise and honor him and glorify him. And it'll not be a bore. It'll not be something tiring and something dead and dry to us and monotonous to us. But we'll rejoice in his presence to keep on praising him. And then last, we have the picture of the old mariner. Said that he's seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Oh, what a storm, what a tempest that would be. Which lifteth up the waves thereof. It said that they mount up to the heavens, then drop down to the very depths. Said their souls might melt because of trouble. They said, this is the end of this. Those mariners out there, when Jonah was on board, it cost them, cost somebody just about everybody. They threw the tackling overboard. They threw the wires overboard. They were trying to keep from having to throw Jonah overboard. But they finally had to do it. They said, we're going to all destroy. They had prayer meetings. They made vows. They sacrificed under the God of heaven. They was trying to get rid of it. They said they reeled to and fro and staggered like a drunken man, trying to get a hold of it to the Lord and control the vessel and our witness. But whenever they called upon God, he maketh the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. If Jesus did that day, he said, peace be still. Not only did the wind stop, but the sea just swung out. Then he maketh the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He bringeth them under their desired head. I made mention before that the little boy back to Ohio, Brother Bill Mather, when he was in the Navy, and he said, and he may have even been on his way home, but they were out there in the sea, and he said they ran into such a tempest like they had never seen before. They tried to, I guess, control the ship, but things were, it seemed like, we're getting out of hand. It was a desperate situation. He said he run down to where the captain's quarters. He never stopped to knock or anything. He just busted on in and woke the captain up. And said, man, we're in an awful storm. He said the old ship's captain came out on deck, looked the crane over, and he just had one piece of advice. He said, pull steam ahead. And turned and went back to his quarters and went to bed. The old captain had been in storms before. And maybe he'd even been in worse storms than that. I don't know. And I know tonight that we're traveling the ship, the old ship of Zion. We've got a captain tonight with our full confidence and our full trust that can be in. Whenever we get to the most
difficult storm that we've ever faced in all of our life, if we can get still enough to listen, He'll not tell us to stop. He'll not tell us to just flounder in the midst of the storm, but I believe He'll tell us full steam ahead. Everything's going to be all right.
Keep it up there.